Welcome to Financial Legacy, Nothing Off Limits with Leah. I am your courageous host. And April is the month that we celebrate Mathematics and Statistic Awareness Month. This is the show where gems of the world become intrigued by their rare gem moment, rare gem reveal, and we discuss the moment of truth. Today I have with me a special guest named Kim. All the way here from Cleveland. Kim, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Leah. How are you and everyone else who's listening out there? Hope you're having a beautiful day.
Doing well. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
So we just came out of the month of March celebrating Women's History Month. How did you celebrate yourself as being a business owner here in the city?
I really tried to help a lot of my friends and colleagues at work. You know, everyone thinks that I'm a walking dictionary. You know, like whatever problem they have, I seem to have an answer for it. I'm just a great problem solver. That's how I look at myself. I am just a problem solver.
That is funny because problem solvers are needed throughout the world. So, Kim, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm coming up on the birthday June 1st, and I will be 60. And I have a son. He's married. And I just have the one son. And really, my son, I feel like shaped who I really am. Because, you know, after I had my son, I didn't want my son to go to babysitters and daycares and things like that. So I kind of worked my life and career around him.
Wow, that sounds like the life we are living in now. And, you know, I love to hear you elaborate more because I'm quite sure there are more moms out there who's looking to do the same. So how did you do it?
So what I did, you know, I did stay home with my son until he was two. You know, his father allowed me to do that. So I stayed home until he turned two and I said, okay, I'm getting bored. I need to go to work. So what I did, I started looking into real estate. I wanted to, you know, work on my own time so I could be with my son. And I dabble and dabble, but, you know, it still wasn't consistent for me. So I ended up, you know, I started teaching. I got a degree in teaching for children with disabilities. So I was able to do that and be off in the summer and still get a paycheck. So it's a great, you know, I could be home with my son during the summer. I don't have to, you know, find somebody to watch him and put him in daycare. I can be home with him all summer like he's at home all summer. He's not in school. You know, and that really worked out. I did that for 13 years. And once my son graduated from high school, I never went back. You know, I put in my resignation because I hated it. I hate teaching. I hate being stuck in a one room like that, you know. So once I quit, I started flipping houses. I met a group of guys. I was the only female in the flips. And I flipped three houses, and then we had the house crash, and a lot of people went to jail. I don't know if you guys remember when everybody was going to jail. And then they started changing the flip, and they made it hard. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started getting rental properties and Airbnbs.
Wow. You know, it sounds like that you have definitely had a career and you've been able to touch in quite a few fields. And as I stated, this is the month that we are celebrating mathematics and statistics. So let's go back to you being a teacher and you educating your son. Did you educate your son on financial literacy? And if so, how did you do it?
I did. And it's so funny because his father is a teacher and a professor at a college, too. My son is now an engineer. He's a brainiac. I mean, he's really smart. And I don't know if it had anything to do with me and his dad being educators, but I'm also in the healthcare field too. I do phlebotomy also. Because I forgot about that. I forgot I even did that. I did so much. But yes, I did. I taught my son. When he went to college, I set him down and I said, you know, work hard now and you can play hard later. I said, you want good credits and you can get whatever you want. I said, don't go out there getting women pregnant because you ain't going to have no money. You have to give it away. He don't like that. He's money fanatic. And I set him down and told him, I said, keep your credit good. Stay on your finances, stay on your bills. If you don't want to pay the bill, don't make the bill. You know, so I did teach him about finance and I taught him about credit. And I think too, well, because he's obsessed with
and, you know,
ideas.
That is great to hear that. You know, as I take a look more into the Mathematics and Statistics Awareness Month, I'm finding that in 1986, Ronald Reagan proclaims the third week of April as Mathematics Awareness Week. And that's something in our culture or in school I do not recall being celebrated. And that was an area that I struggled in. And it's funny because all parents weren't hands-on. They weren't as good in math. And that was just a subject that children really, really had a hard time in. So that was great advice that you gave your son. And how did your son take to that advice? Was he receptive to that?
He was, because when he was in college, but even before he went to college, in high school, I found out later he was doing it, because my son, I'm telling you, he is so smart that he's almost dumb. I always call him a moron. But when he was 8 years old, his father brought him a brand new computer. When I got home, he had that computer taken apart and almost died. It was a brand new computer. And, you know, he's like, calm down, Mom. My dad told me how to, you know, build my computer up. And he fixed it. He was 8 years old. And what he started doing was he was buying, I didn't know he was doing it for a while, he was buying video games from China, because those sell higher here in America. So, and they're real cheap in China. So he would buy video games like for $5, $10 here, but there were $40, $50 here. And he was, you know, he was like, Mom, can I buy something online? And I would give him my credit card. Well, I didn't know he remembered my credit card number. He didn't need my card. He remembered everything on my card. And he was buying and trading and buying and trading. And when I looked around, this boy had more money in his pocket than I had in my purse.
Wow. So he's an innovator, as well as he likes numbers. And so how did that make you feel as being Mom? This is your son, and your son is showing you these amazing talents. How did that make you feel?
It was so amazing. I couldn't be mad, because when I found out when I got my bank statement, I'm like, what are all these charges? And it was my son, you know, and I was so mad. So then my grandmother ended up getting him his own credit card. And she told him he could use $50 a month, you know, to do his trading with his little business that he was doing. Now, this one, he was 8 years old. So then when he turned 12, he was making skins for, like, your computers, your Game Boy, the, you know, the PlayStation handle or game, whatever. He was making skins and selling.
Wow, look at that. And so now, you know, fast forward, and now you have this amazing son, and he's an adult. And so has he continued on with those innovations?
He has. Of course, he's gone big. So he's been making, like, I don't know if you ever heard of the CIA cases where they have computers in the cases. He made those. He made me a master computer, which is crazy. It lights my whole room up blue when I turn it on. It's clear. He's made me a master computer. He was still in college when he did that. But yeah, he has, if you go in his basement, it looks like a factory. He does. He makes a lot of 3D things, and he makes a lot of stuff. And he's very innovational. I mean, I don't even understand half the stuff he's doing. I never have to buy electronics. My son does that for me. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. Like when it comes to TV, computers, and things like phones, he gets them for me because he said, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't.
Wow, that is amazing.
So I tell people not to ask him what's the best computer to get, because it is going to be very expensive, which nobody's going to pay. Don't ask him that.
So you mentioned that you became a teacher, but you absolutely disliked it. You did not like being a teacher.
I don't.
What was it about being a teacher that you did not like at all?
I did not like being a teacher because of how, you know, undisciplined. The children were not disciplined. The parents didn't discipline. And the parents were worse than the children. I end up having to call the police on the parents. The parents up there fighting, trying to fight the teachers. And it's like every day it was something with the kids. The kids were, it was like it was very hard to teach the children. Like I said, I was in project area. You know, I was always teaching in the low income, and the children were not being raised by the parent. The parent wants the teachers to raise the kids, but then the parents tell the kids not to listen to the teachers. You listen to them. It was very hard. The kids sent me to the hospital twice. One of the kids threw a chair and chipped a bone in my leg, and I had to go to the hospital. I also wore a badge because I also did home visits where I would go and take children out of the homes. It was just depressing. You know, it was just really bad where I was. You know, you come out to school and see a dead body. It was where I was working at, I guess, for me. Wow. And because I work with special need children and in certain areas. I was at King Kennedy, Garden Valley, Outway. You know, so that's where I was.
Wow. And, you know, Kim, I just want to say thank you so very much for being transparent and open. And, you know, on this show, nothing is off limits. And so we could talk about it. And so I'd like to just say, as my experience as being a substitute teacher, I am very aware of those issues within our communities, as well as the children coming to school being very disruptive, not being disciplined. Yes. They're looking for someone who can nurture them, someone who can understand, but most importantly, someone who can help them to understand aspects of life outside of just getting good grades. And so and you know, let's talk about it as now, you know, those areas that you mentioned, King Kennedy, Garden Valley. Those are high poverty areas in the city of Cleveland where we are. And my heart really goes out to those families because they simply don't have the resources that they need in order to maintain or sustain a better way of living, right? Would you agree?
Right. Yes, I do.
And so in your experience, when you were faced with some of these challenges and obstacles, tell us, how were you able to deal with that mentally, emotionally, and did it affect you financially?
It didn't really affect me financially, but I find myself bringing my work home a lot. I was tired, and I was also mentally, like, stressed, or it hurt my heart because you want to do more, but there's only so much you could do because I also was a social worker, too, you know, for the school. You know, I was also teaching. I was a social worker. I was going out to the houses. We also gave them resources, like a lot of the parents didn't have their GED, so we would help them with that, or we would help them with housing. I wasn't a regular teacher. You know, I also helping the families get their needs taken care of as well. You know, like if the children needed to go to the doctor, I would make appointments for that. Eye doctor. You know, one kid came in and was crying, and head was cocked to the left. She wouldn't put her head straight. I'm like, what's the matter? You know, took her to the emergency, come to find out that she had roach laid eggs in her ears. And you know, lead paint, I would have to find them different housing, get their houses checked for lead. It was really a crazy time, and I did that for 13 years.
Wow, Kim, I am just in awe over here as you are a community advocate, and it sounds like you've been a resource for people who are in need, not just special needs and disability, but those who are just looking to do better. And you know, Kim, again, we are still living in the times where our resources are limited in the city of Cleveland. People are not as aware of what's available, how to obtain help, or where to go. They're looking for someone to reach out to. And so with the experience that you've had thus far, I know you said you are no longer teaching, and I understand your pain, but I thank God that you were able to stand in the gap and create a path for someone like me that you can pass that baton to, and you can give me advice. What would you say to the teachers now who are experiencing those same difficulties and hardships?
I commend the teachers now because I know the kids are even worse now, and I commend the teachers. I really feel like they should really get more money and get more perks because these kids, I mean, you think they were bad when I was doing it. You know, I'm pretty sure they're worse now, you know, so I commend the teachers who do it now. And I tell them to, you know, keep on doing their best, you know, do what you can do, and what you can't, you can't. You know, that's how I feel about these teachers now, but I really do feel for them. I do.
And so just in your experiences being a teacher, did you ever teach a math class?
I did not, no.
Okay.
I did a little, but it wasn't an extent. You know, I did help with math, but that was not what I did a lot.
Okay. And no, I definitely understand that, as mm-hmm. mathematics is a subject that requires patience as well as yes. understanding of concepts and processes. Something like business, right? Is, you know, we are two business yes. professionals. Yes. In our day-to-day living, we have to understand the concepts and the processes in order to not only efficiently run our business, but make sure that we maintain it. And so my question to you is, since we are celebrating Mathematics and Statistics Awareness Month, mm-hmm. the children that you encountered, did you show that they lacked in those areas? Was math a weak point for a lot of the students, or was it a struggle at all for any of them?
That was a number one struggle, is getting them to add, especially for some reason, subtracting was the hardest for them to me. That's what I see, was the subtracting was really hard for them to grasp. And I couldn't understand why.
Okay.
You know, even if I visually showed them, if I put three blocks on the table and I take two away, they don't get it. It's like they're confused, especially the boys.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, that is one thing that I have to agree. And let's just say in our culture, and I'm saying our culture, you know, based on the color of our skin, I am a woman, I am a identify as an African-American woman, as well as I know that I have other race inside of me. So, but I identify as an African-American woman. And we know that in our culture, they say that our boys have the lowest learning rate there is. A lot of them don't even make it past the eighth grade. How do you feel about that?
And that's absolutely true. I have the most problem teaching is the boys. They don't grasp as fast as the girls for some reason. I have no idea why. I thought that was amazing. And most of the boys that were in my class, when I assessed them, I had to assess one of the boys for it. He was bipolar. And most of the boys had problems. They had either ADHD or something. Almost all the boys, and I could never understand that. It was mostly the boys who had the learning disability.
You yes. walked this path in life, and you've set the tone for people like myself who've come behind you to pick up the baton and carry on the good work. Can you recall any time during your career as being a teacher, a situation that impacted you? If so, what was it, and what type of impression did it leave on you?
You know, I know that I did help a lot of families, and that would make me feel good. And that was the only thing I missed, because I still have not done my dream job. And my dream job was to teach. I always wanted to teach Black community how to attain wealth. That's still my dream. I always wanted to do that, you know, and I know some families that I really did help, and they're great. They're doing great now. They're doing, I think, even better than me. They're out of the projects. They're, you know, they're doing jobs. Even the children have gone to college. I even found out that some of the children that I had did go to college and get a degree. So that made me feel good. I felt like it wasn't a waste of time, and I felt like I did do I did do some good. I don't know if all of them did great, but I do know a few families that are doing wonderful since I've been, you know, out of teaching. And that makes me feel good. Even if I just help one person, it's great.
Absolutely, because that one person is part of society, and they're able to take the great love and the information that you poured in them to create that generational wealth. So you say that your dream job is to teach others how to create generational wealth. What does that mean to you, Kim?
What it means to me, it's not as hard as people think it is. I mean, I just feel like if you, I was real big on budgeting. Even my goddaughter, when she was getting ready to move out from home, I wrote her down a budget. And you know, she follows it to this day. I'm not going to say, oh, it's super easy to do it, but it's not hard as people think it is if they really, you know, follow some type of budget or write it down. I always made vision boards. I have goals all over my refrigerator. I have sticky notes everywhere. You know, do this. I don't care how small it is. Do something towards your dream every day. And if it's just a phone call or you read something on it. You know, I have sticky notes on my refrigerator, on my computer. You know, I do something toward my goal or toward my wealth every day. You know, and you'll get there. You know, everybody used to laugh at me when I said, oh, you know, my dream car is a Mercedes and, you know, I want to have a rental. Well, I did it. You know, I bought a Mercedes and that was a bad idea where I was working at the time. I was working in the project. So the police would stop me every day saying that, oh, you must be buying drugs because only cars like this come to buy drugs. Wow. And I would get stopped a lot. And that used to really make me kind of angry. But, yeah, I did it. I got, you know, I had three rental properties. I do have one. I got rid of two. I still have one rental property. And I have four Airbnbs right now. And it's not hard to do it. And you don't even need money to get Airbnbs.
Wow. And see, look at you, Kim. You said that your dream job is to teach others how to create generational wealth. And here you are spreading the news on how easy it is to have Airbnbs with no money. Please tell us your secret.
And it's real quick and easy. I mean, do you find a rental? Find somebody who's renting a property. If it's a beautiful, nice property and he's renting it, you know, talk to the owner and say, I would like to rent your house, but, you know, I'd like to put it on Airbnb. And if they say, still get your every month rent, you know, of course, you know, Airbnb will make sure everything is fixed. If it's destroyed, keep it clean, nice. And if they say, yeah, then you do a contract with that rental person and then you put it on Airbnb and there you go. You didn't use any money.
Wow, Kim, you know what? I just want to say thank you for dropping that gem. That is some knowledge that someone is going to need. And you know, again, we celebrate mathematics and statistic awareness this month. This is an area where I know that most people can improve. People do not realize how we use math in our lives
every day.
Every day you are using math. And yes, I commend you for teaching your niece on how to budget. Having a budget is a plan. And if you have a plan, you might fail, but you can revamp that plan to plan your work and work your plan. That is my favorite thing to do in life. It's to plan my work and work my plan. And every day I get up with that appreciation because my budget tells me my numbers. My budget tells me my numbers.
Right.
And so, as you are sitting here today and you've used all of these great tactics in order to improve your life and help others, what have you learned just within the process from itself and how has it helped you become a better person?
I think it helped me become a better person because when I'm the kind of person when I find out or learn something, I want to tell everybody. You know, when I find out something, I try to tell everybody, you know, and I try to learn something new every day. And it was so disheartening to me. I cannot get our people to read. You know, when I send them information to make their life better or a video, they won't even watch the video. They won't even read it. And that's so disheartening, you know, but the ones who did, you know, they're on their way, you know, and it makes me feel good when I can help somebody and when, you know, what I told them actually worked. So that's rewarding for me, but it's so hard to get our people to have an open mind.
You know, I hate to say it, but Kim, I agree with you. Having an open mind and living in a state of receptiveness is not easy for most. Because everyone has their own unique relationship with money and with this thing that we call life. So, Kim, I thank you so very much for your time and what you share with us. If the people are looking to reach you, how can they find you?
I'm on Facebook. I am. And I don't really, you know, do, I mean, I helped a lot of people, but I don't charge. I don't really have like website or anything. It's mostly, you know, word of mouth. I did something for you and you go tell your friend. That's how I often work. But I don't really have a website and I don't charge, you know, because like I said, I like helping our people, you know, because I feel like we don't have a lot.
Wow.
And I wouldn't charge for anything. I don't know if you talked to your sister, but you know what we're doing. I didn't charge for that. I have helped 28 people become millionaires.
You know what, Kim? And on that note, I want to say that I can attest to that. You have been a gem and you've heard it first. If you are looking to reach Kim, your connection to Kim is going to be through me. And again, I am Financial Legacy, nothing off limits with Leah. We are celebrating Mathematics and Statistic Awareness Month, and we are doing our due diligence as advocates in the community. Continue to hit me up. You can find me on IG at financial_legacy_Leah, or you can keep sending me emails. That is president@aleashelpinghand.vision. Again, I thank all of my constituents for tuning in. Share, download, and subscribe. And if you're looking for Kim, don't forget to put me in the mix. Thank you so much and enjoy your day.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.